virtual couch.
Only way we going hell. Real talk, Latisha keeps it real. Real talk, she's an awesome therapist. Real talk, let's keep it real. Real talk's only way we going hell. Real talk, Latisha keeps it real. Real talk, she's an awesome therapist. Real talk, gotta keep it real with this man of hell. Latisha's here to provide the help, so you could take care of yourself. You gotta do the work of nobody else.
Wipe your feet at the door, get your snacks, water, and an open mind to take in these priceless gems from your favorite therapist, Latisha.
Are you ready for some dope, thought-provoking content as Latisha unpacks and breaks down some of today's hottest, intriguing, and most salacious topics in and out of the headlines, while she teaches you how to transform and take your life to the next level to live your best life authentically and out loud? She's fine, and her virtual couch is oh so comfortable, y'all. Now, let's get enlightened, empowered, and inspired with our West Coast beauty, Latisha.
On Latisha's virtual couch.
Now, have a seat, get cozy, and let's listen in.
The information provided on this platform is for informational purposes only. If you ever find yourself becoming triggered, please refrain from listening. If you ever feel like you want to hurt yourself or hurt someone else, please dial 911 or report to your nearest emergency room. Thank you.
Hello, Psych2Goers, gather around. Yes, all of you. Don't just because the word alone is in the title. This is like the Fortress of Solitude. Badass, right? Yeah, all you quiet type introverts know what we mean. We can be alone, and we aren't lonely. Yeah. On Instagram, TikTok, whatever, there's an awful lot of tryhard shouting that constantly being around oodles of people is the best thing ever. Wanna know a secret? It ain't all that. In fact, sometimes the party person envies the happy-to-be-alone person. If you can be satisfied and happy just spending time with yourself, you avoid massive FOMO anxiety and you don't need pants. Are the people independent? Throw your hands up at me. Bonus, being alone has even more benefits than just being good with your bad self. Things like, 1, getting to focus on you and learning something new in the process. As super as we are, we have finite resources. Socially, a goodly chunk of our energy goes to fitting in somewhat. You know, things like watching what you say and negotiating activities so you can get along with others. But solo time means your resources are all yours. Yes. You can assess what's important to you and what you're passionate about. Not, what do all of you want to do? So sign up for that dance class because you want to. Want to learn Photoshop basics? you can watch all the tutorials. Hey, if you're still hankering for company after the fact, new learning means new people. Number two, boosting creativity. Not having to think or appease others means
freedom.
You may don a kilt if you wish. No pants bonus, remember? You have the freedom to let your mind's creativity go to town. No one else is exerting limitations or pressuring a specific agenda on you. If you're doing something for yourself and solo, you don't have to conform to anything. Let the innovating maestro in you fly high. You can choose later if you want to share and trim accordingly at that time. So, no big, right? Number three, authenticity. Be like water, my friend. We know. Ironic that we're saying this in a video that's on YouTube via the internet. But that doesn't negate the fact that internet and info technology is a blessed with suck situation. Never before has so much knowledge and so many differing views been readily available. Yet, also, never before has there been so much noise, drowning out your inner voice. The one that says, this is me. If you've ever wondered, is this what I think or is it just popular? Then you understand. Being able to shut the front door, giving yourself space and peace, lets you avoid becoming one of the sheeple. You get to think independently about who you are and what you stand for. Who do you want to be for your sake? When you can get that solid grasp on your own identity, you naturally become more confident. You know yourself, so you can trust yourself and be authentic. Number four, it enhances the quality of your relationships. We're not advocating separation or breakups here. We just mean space. As much as we love our people, we get used to them. It doesn't mean you love them less, just they become part of the norm. Nothing stays novelty new forever. When you take time separately from the relationship to care for yourself, you take a break from that norm. That solo time lets you reaffirm your own value and what you bring, while at the same time increasing understanding and value in others. It's like refreshing the noticeability of the other person and the view of the relationship as a whole. Number five, it improves your mental well-being. You know, those days, impatient clients, you're short-staffed and you had to do overtime and now you're home. The last thing you need is more questions, more demands, more Nope. Silence. Peace. Quiet. You wanna think with no one barging in on you. Experiencing that spot of solitude and finding comfort in it improves stress management, increases life satisfaction, and enables focused attention, which improves recall and retention of information. All of this, in short, lets you get a grip so you don't feel lost, hopeless, or compelled to do something unwise out of desperation. And number six, you can make sure that the cake is not a lie. You love someone. Okay, fine. You like someone. Or there's someone who makes you smile. And that's a positive. Happiness is a strange thing, though. Like a deceptively small cheesecake. It's sweet, it looks light, and when you have to eat a whole slice on your own, it feels like a brick. Being happy with someone is good. Giving someone the impossible responsibility for your happiness is a lose-lose for everyone. It's forcing this person to become an extension of you. You're bleeding off your power and giving it to them, depending on this outside source. Disappointment or a breakup becomes a traumatic amputation. Why nerf your powers? You know what you need. When you make your own happy cake, regardless of how outside influences turn out, you still have your cake. You are your own solid foundation, and even if you're not in Kansas anymore, you're still you. Processing emotions is like changing the frosting. You're still whole, and you'll get over the piping not being purple anymore. No one dictates how you feel, and no one owns you. If you're not used to being alone, it can feel a little unnerving. If so, ask yourself, I'm with me. Why do I feel uncomfortable? Is this the first time you haven't had to cater to others and you don't know how to cater to yourself? we tend to fear the unknown. Maybe you're not as happy with yourself as you believe, but you're awesome. Get to know you. To those of us who are comfortable alone, revel in your wisdom. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And we salute you. How did these points affect you? And can you relate? When was the last time you realized that you thrive in solitude? Discuss, share, and like. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.
If you or someone you love are having thoughts of committing suicide, please call the National Suicide Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or call 1-800-273-TALK. You are not alone.
Hey, this is your girl, Letitia, coming to you from the virtual couch. I want to take a little bit of your time today to discuss how to find the right therapist. Now, like with anything, your hairstylist, your gardener, your medical doctor, it may take a few tries before you find the right fit. Finding the right therapist is no different. So stay the course and don't give up. Also, I want to empower you to ask questions. Do not feel like you're being intrusive by asking questions, because guess what? This is the person that's going to lead you and guide you towards your healing. And this is a very important partnership. So I will say this, even as a therapist myself, if a therapist becomes offended by any questions that you may have, just like with any other individual that I discussed before, like your doctor, your gardener, whoever, someone, you know, working on your home, if they become offended, you're probably not going to hire them, right? Exactly. Your therapist is no different. So don't feel offended. Don't be offended by the degrees and the licenses and, yes, all those hard things we worked for, but we're here for you. And so it is your right to ask every question you need to ask to make sure it is the right fit for you. And again, it may take a few tries. And again, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that therapist is a bad person either. It just means that, you know what, they may not be the right person to guide you on your journey. So I want to leave you with a few resources. Psychologytoday.com is a resource where you can view various therapists, and you can even input your area by your zip code, your city, and your state to find the therapist nearest you. You can also go to therapyforblackgirls.com and therapyforblackmen.org. Please seek these resources out. They are awesome. There are some wonderful, very experienced therapists on these sites, some of which are my beautiful colleagues, and I know the hard work that they do, and they are waiting to hear from you. Okay, so I'm not gonna take any more of your time, because I know you can't wait to get to that computer, right? And search out that therapist. So I'm not going to say anything further. If you want to tell me about your experience, I would love to hear about it. Please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. And happy hunting. Take care.
Okay, get back into your comfortable spot and get cozy to hear some more of our girl Letitia's dope jams. Now, let's listen in.
So welcome back and welcome to another one of my self-care series. I love doing my self-care series because I like to incorporate and include, I like to include some things that you can use every day. Practical things that you can do that you can incorporate in your own life to take your life to the next level, okay? Whether it's drinking water, whether it's getting some sunlight, because a lot of people don't know that vitamin D can be gathered from the sun, yes, and it can boost your mood. And so I have people who have emailed me and said, thank you for adding your self-care series to your podcast episode. So I'm going to continue to do that, okay? So when I was thinking about another episode to actually create, I was like, okay, what do I want to do for my self-care series? And I thought about being alone. And I know being alone, just saying that sounds kind of lonely. But I wanted to educate you on being alone and how it's actually beneficial to you knowing who you are, getting to know who you are and being comfortable in who you are. You can't be comfortable with other people if you're not comfortable with yourself, okay? So basically, being alone, being in solitude is one of the greatest freedoms for some, and for others, some of the most scariest and isolating times and feelings that one may even seek to avoid at some point. And for some, a lot of times, they may want to avoid that. And I see this a lot with people who always have to have people around them, but we'll get into that a little later. In today's culture, being alone seems foreign. And like I was alluding to before, sometimes people always want to fill in that time that they should be spending alone, listening to their inner voices. Well, not voices, that inner voice to see what the next steps are. You know, for me, and I like to always incorporate myself because I don't want you to ever think that I'm not authentic, but I do this a lot. And this is how I create my next ventures and make my next moves. I need quiet time. And it's some of the best moments for me is spending time alone and just gathering my thoughts. Some people think, like I said, that being alone means that you're lonely. And it couldn't be further from the truth, to be honest with you. Alone versus loneliness. These two things are different. They are not the same. Loneliness deals with one's emotional inner being, right? So when you're lonely, it's telling about how you are internally, okay? So basically, no matter how much you are with other people, if you have this going on, you're going to still feel lonely, okay? External forces doesn't change this, okay? It's only temporary if it does. On the flip side, we can feel vibrant and alive in solitude. So just as someone can feel lonely being with others, you can feel your most alive being by yourself. It depends on what's going on the inside, okay? As, again, is dealing with your inner being. I know for me, and it's a booster for me. It's an energy booster for me. It recharges me. And it can do the same for you. Being alone can stimulate our creativity. I know it does for me. When I want to create something new, I like getting off into my little shell, I would say. And I come up with some of the most creative thoughts and ideas. And that's why I don't like people copying off of me. Because I know when I'm sitting my time alone, it's really my time alone with God too. So he's giving me creative ideas. And I know they're mine because when I create things, I don't see them anywhere. Unless someone is trying to copy them. But, you know, we have attorneys and things for that, right? So, again, rest helps us to birth new ideas. When you're tired and you're running the rat race, your mind, you know, sometimes can't even rest to think about new things. And so it's very imperative for us to take some time alone in solitude to
get those creative juices flowing, okay? So, yeah, even if it's spending some time alone and engaging in your hobbies, whatever that may be, you need some time alone to reset and rest that brain of yours. My last episode was about brain health and exercising your brain, and we don't really take into account how beneficial it is to rest our brain and rest our minds, and not always having to wait for a vacation, but taking a mental day off. Sometimes you just need to take a mental, I call it a mental health day. And it's a day that's not scheduled, and you can do whatever you want to do. And sometimes just sitting alone in silence, if you want to do that, that's fine too. But yeah, let's go on. Have you ever met someone who always needed, as I said, I was going to allude to this, right? Have you ever met someone who always needed the company of others for validation? Yeah, there's a lot of people out there like that. They always need people. And these are people who are really not in tune with themselves, because once you get in tune with yourself, I'm telling you, it's no one can fill that void. I love being by myself. Now, that's not to say I'm not a people person, because of course I am. I'm a whole therapist, right? But there's nothing like spending time alone. And because, again, like I said, this is when I come up with my greatest ideas, but I also get my best rest when I'm alone. Okay? So, yeah. But you have people who they just don't know how to do that. And that speaks to deeper issues as well, because when someone doesn't want to spend time alone, a lot of times these people are scared to be alone because they have to face those deep, dark, ugly truths about themselves that they are trying to avoid. But we'll go into that another time, right? These people are usually ones with anxious attachment, and they're very fearful of being alone due to abandonment and rejection in childhood. And you will also see this play out in the relationships, because they can be very clingy, very needy, very clingy. I don't like this word, but very stalkerish, like literally. A person that's always have to be attached to someone, and you are not a child. Because, you know, as children, they're still getting their needs met by parents. But a grown adult, there's something wrong with that. Okay. And that doesn't go away in relationships. It actually gets worse, because that's something within themselves that they have to work out in therapy. Okay. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know people don't like going to therapy, but you definitely, some things you have to work out in therapy, because you have a person that's trained to deal with those things to kind of take you back to childhood and unravel those things that may be still a little bit tangled up in your adulthood and that's keeping you fixated. Okay. So, these individuals are more than likely to become enmeshed, even with their children, other relatives, and like again, in relationships. We see a lot of this online. Like I said, you have some people who are really even enmeshed and attached to their social media. Yes, for the same reason. So you have people who are attached to their virtual personas in relationships. Have you seen those people who just cannot get off of social media? They just have to have it. I even was thinking about this yesterday, to be honest with you. What would some people do if they cancel social media? Some people, I think, would have a nervous breakdown. I really do. I really think they would have a nervous breakdown, because their whole life is attached to these cyber people that really don't even know who they are. And if they were down on their luck, wouldn't even come to the rescue. That's the sad part. And so some people have become so dependent upon their virtual personas, which a lot of times are not real. Okay. And so, yeah, you have a lot of people that are addicted to the likes and the follows and their false selves that they're able to create virtually. Now, people who are comfortable in solitude, they are most likely the ones who have a good self-concept, I would say, and self-esteem, and are aware of their identity outside of others. They actually crave, and this is so me, we actually crave solitude to recharge. I know for me, if I'm around people too much, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like kicking and screaming to get some me time, to recharge. And as a therapist, you know, I'm always around people and talking to people. So my me time is so very important to me. And so I think I labeled myself this in another episode. I like to label myself as a social learner, social loner, because I crave my me time, but I am a social butterfly at the same time. If you ask any of my friends in college and even that, well, I wouldn't say too much now, but I will say now too, periodically, I'm the social butterfly. I'm the life of the party. You know when I'm at a party. And I've always been like that as a kid, even in the family. You knew when I was around. I like brighten up a room. And so I would always hear like, you just brighten up the room when your presence come in. I've always been that person. But I also crave my me time as well. So enough of that. When was the last time you spent time alone? And this is a rhetorical question, of course, because you can't answer me back, but you can if you follow me on my social media platforms and on my podcast, because I have sections where you can actually chat with me, okay? So, yeah, when was the last time you spent time alone? And how did you feel? And how long did you do it for? Because some people say, oh, I spend time alone, but they don't do it enough. How did you feel? Did you feel anxious? Because if you're not used to spending time alone, it can feel a little isolating and scary. So I would say for some of you who haven't done this, you may want to practice it, okay? Spend some time alone. When I say alone, I mean in silence. Really spend some time where it's quiet, where you can just not hear anything. If you know, you have trees outside, just hearing the wind blow the trees is so awesome to me. And yeah, and so it gives us some time to reset again and refresh from the grind. And it's okay to do so. It gives us time to process even bad choices that we made. Yeah. So have you ever done something and you just like regretted it and you just like, okay, I just need to sit with this. Okay, what did I do? I gotta own it. And how can I do something different to have a different outcome? I do this all the time. We're human, right? Sometimes I can have a conversation with someone and it went left. And I'm like, ugh, I shouldn't have did that, you know? So, okay, what do I do now? Or say, for instance, you can't go back. How do I move forward so that won't happen again in the next situation with someone else? You know, it could be anything. So this is our meditation time. I always, you know, we always talk about prayer. Well, not all of us, but, you know, your prayer time and meditation time. Prayer is when you're talking to God, and meditation time is when you are hearing from Him, right? And so I think sometimes we have a little bit of problems, those of us who pray, because I can't assume. Sometimes I think we have trouble actually listening. We're always talking. But what is He actually saying back to us, right? So, yeah. And if you're not one that prays, you know, spending some time alone and just hearing your thoughts, right? So, what are the benefits of being alone and sitting some time and having some time aside for solitude? And this is what Dr. Nicole said, and I love hearing from her and what she has to say. And these are some things that I've probably already alluded to as well. Space to understand yourself, your needs, and what your values are, rather. Freedom to make decisions for yourself without having to check in with anyone else. That is so true. Flexibility to build other types of relationships that are important to you. Ability to meet new people and have casual experiences. So, okay. So I want to explain that a little bit more. Like for me, I like to travel, right? And sometimes I don't like traveling with people. And I said one of the things I love meeting new people, because sometimes when you're traveling with a crowd, you're not afforded the opportunity to really meet new people. Because if you're with those people, you're going to be with those people. But when you're alone, it allows you to branch out and talk to people that you probably would have never talked to. And it's just so fun and exciting to meet new people and just hear their experiences and how they live. And that's how we grow, actually. If we're always in a bubble and with people that are always like-minded, I'm not saying that you can't grow, because you can, but not as much as you can when you are meeting new people and having new experiences, okay? Another benefit of being alone, getting practice and invaluable experiences through being independent. Yes, it teaches us to be independent and not being dependent on people all the time. And it teaches you how to figure things out, right? And so that's where the creative side can come out as well, is when you are alone and you don't have any other people to depend on. It allows us freedom to follow a passion, purpose, a vision without having to check in with someone else. Yes, following my passion, my purpose, my vision is that's what I'm all about. I love having new talents, new visions, and it allows us to see what we can actually do. There's some things that I've done and do now that I never even fathomed. I never thought that I could do. And so, yes, when you don't have anyone else there, it allows you to explore new and exciting things, okay? It allows us the freedom to have lifestyle choices and habits that work or feel good for us without other people's opinion or advice. Yes, see, our culture, and this is so true, it stigmatizes people without partners as being lonely, unfulfilled, or lacking something. And in reality, many people who are partnered are very lonely. This is what she says, and it's so true. Not being partnered can give us freedom, ability to self-express, and self-awareness. I always tell people, if you're going into a relationship to fill a void, you're going to be sadly mistaken, because those voids that you have, you need to fill them by yourself. Because you're going to be sadly mistaken going into a relationship thinking that that person is going to fill your inner voice. They will not. And to be honest with you, it's very selfish to depend on someone to do that, because that's putting a lot of burden on the other person as well. It is not our partner's job and duties to fill our voids. You need to work those things out. So I'm telling you now, if you're lonely and you feel like you are so attached and you're needy, you're going to have relationship problems. And I know a few that have them. Relationship after relationship, they have the same outcome. You know why? Because the same person is going, they're taking that same person to each relationship without being healed. And that's going to be the problem. You're not going to ever find anyone to fill your voids, because that's not their problem. That's not their job. That's not their duty. That's our duties to do that. Let's normalize not having a partner and still having a fulfilled, supported life full of love. That is so me. I love my life. And when people meet me, they're like, you're just so full of life. And I am. So I know my husband is going to be one that is going to enjoy that part of me, because I love filling people with love, because I have a lot of love to give. I do. And so when you are looking for a relationship, you should be looking of what you can give anyway and not to get. And so, like I said, if you have a lot of voids, relationships should be the last thing you're looking for, because you're just going to bring a lot of problems and burdens to that person. Now, that is it. That's all I have. And go heal. I know I've said that so many times. Go heal and learn how to be alone. It is one of the most liberating things that you can do, is learning to be alone. And again, being in a relationship doesn't guarantee that you are not going to still feel lonely, because it's not the other person's responsibility to make you feel like you're not lonely. That is your problem. That is your responsibility. So take yourself out on a date. Go on a trip. Do things that you would want to do with a partner. I hear so many people say this. when I get married, I'm going to do this. When I'm getting married, and their life is just steadily wasting away when they could be doing those things now, right? Because who's to say you're going to ever get married? The last time I checked, that's not a guarantee, right? So would you sit down there and waste, sit down there. Would you sit here and waste your life waiting on someone? And guess, and still no guarantee that if you had that person, that they're going to fulfill you. Because can no one fulfill you like you, okay? So with that said, that's the end of this self-care series. And so, yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. You can find me on Instagram at Leticia_ReedLCSW. You can also find me on TikTok and everywhere, right? I'm some of everywhere because I just love spreading the word of healing to my audience. I really, really do. And these are things that I actually incorporate. If you know me, you know I'm not a fraud. You know that this is me. I incorporate this in real life. I'm not a person that's sitting here on a podcast telling you things that I'm not doing myself, because we see so much of that. And that is so not me. So whatever I'm telling you to do, trust me, I have incorporated and I know it works. Because if I didn't know it worked, I wouldn't be telling you about it. So with that said, have a great day or night or whatever. I don't know when you're listening to this, but just like, you know what? Just have a great life, period. Every day, just make it a great one, okay? So until next time, ciao.
Hey, Psych2Goers, welcome back to our channel. We wanted to let you know that we value each and every one of you. All of your support helps us make psychology and mental health more accessible to everyone. So thank you for all of the love and support. Now, back to the video. How often do you feel lonely? While it's common for all of us to experience loneliness every now and then, what do we do if the feeling persists more than we're used to? If not dealt with properly, loneliness can grow into something harmful to our mental health. Now, if you believe you're suffering from excessive or chronic loneliness, a good plan might be to seek out help through a counselor or a mental health professional. It's a great first step and gives you a chance to talk with someone about your feelings that you're experiencing. While a lot of us can feel lonely when isolated for too long, loneliness isn't reliant on being alone. Loneliness, like all of our emotions, is a state of mind. Research demonstrates that loneliness does not reflect how many friends or family members you have by your side. Instead, it's how connected you feel internally. You can be surrounded by family or friends, and yet your feelings of loneliness still somehow manage to persist. So, what can we do about it? Well, you're in luck, because here at Psych2Go, we've gathered a list of 4 tips to help you deal with loneliness. Number 1, become friends with yourself first. Self-care is something that is extremely important for our mental health. The truth is, we may feel lonely because deep down, we long for our own friendship. When's the last time you were kind to yourself? Took a minute to relax and wind down, just for you. And I don't mean passing out after a long night of working. I mean conscious time dedicated to yourself and your thoughts. Thoughts all on you, not work, not drama, just relaxation. This could mean a relaxing bubble bath instead of a quick shower. Some time spent doing an activity or a hobby that you enjoy, or perhaps sitting down with your favorite book. When loneliness comes knocking on the door, it's a good idea to look inwards and spend some time with the friend within ourselves. They may be the one to help us calm ourselves and relieve some stress. That is, if we do spend time with them. Once we've made friends with ourselves, we might not feel as lonely around others or on our own, because you always know you got your back. Number 2. Show compassion. Oftentimes, when we're lonely, we may wish that someone could simply be there for us, someone to understand us and show us some compassion. Well, a little compassion can go a long way. Don't you feel a little cheerier when someone gives you a compliment? When someone does a favor for you, don't you feel a little more valued and less alone? Wouldn't you want to bring that compassion to others as well and spread love? Because not only does carrying out kind acts for others help them feel cheery, but it can make us feel cheery as well, and less lonely in the process. After all, we're engaging in a form of social interaction. Compassion can be a step towards making a new friend or simply feeling less lonely knowing you may have made someone's day. According to research from psychologists Ed Diener and Martin Seligman, altruism can lead to improved mental and physical health, as well as speed up recovery from diseases. Brain imaging research from Naomi Eisenberger at UCLA has found that providing support for others may have unique positive effects on key brain areas involved in stress and reward responses. The research shows that a little compassion and support can predict decreased stress responses in the brain. So next time you're feeling lonely, perhaps reach out to a family member or old friend who could use some support. Donate to a charity or volunteer with an organization you care about. Maybe a mental health organization on loneliness. I'm sure they'd love the support as much as you. Number 3, find your tribe. As mentioned, you don't need to be physically alone to feel lonely. You could be at a loud, seemingly fun party with others and still you can't help but shake the feeling. Perhaps you do have friends or classmates you regularly talk to, and you do get along with them, but you don't necessarily have a lot in common with them. You may even find yourself disinterested in the topics they discuss, but politely nod along because, hey, they're your friends after all, and you care about them. But sometimes you feel like the odd one out. This may be due to the idea that you haven't found your tribe yet. Tribe? What on earth do you mean? Well, looking for your tribe means you're looking for people who share common interests and ideas with you or possess traits you aspire to adapt. We should all surround ourselves with others who share the same interests so we can not only discuss what we value, but gain a friend in doing so. It can take some people many years to find their tribe. They don't appear out of thin air. That's why joining an online community with interests similar to your own is an easy place to start. If you enjoy a certain video game, reach out to online players and make some friends. Or perhaps you're a book lover. Join a book club online or in person. You may find yourself with your very own tribe in no time. Number 4, there is no perfect friend. If you're lonely, you may have daydreamed about what it would be like to be perfectly socialized, imagining yourself with an ideal group of friends and your best friend, the perfect friend. Hate to burst your bubble, but there's no such thing as perfect. Meaning your imaginary friend isn't all you'd hoped they'd be. Theory and research suggest that those with a high level of perfectionism are more at risk for depressive symptoms and suicide ideation because their feelings of alienation, isolation, and loneliness are all the more intense. Thing is, perfectionism in socializing may even prevent some from socializing at all because when they do look for the perfect friend, they can't seem to find them anywhere. Philosopher and author of A Philosophy of Loneliness, Lars Svensson, argues that people with chronic loneliness may likely be social perfectionists. Svensson explains that social perfectionism is more common among lonely individuals than non-lonely. The lonely person thinks that they're unloved and that no one will befriend them. But perhaps the problem is rather that because they place such impossible demands on friendship and love, they are not capable of loving or befriending someone. Now, are you capable of befriending someone? Absolutely. Don't let a little perfectionism get in the way of making a new friend. People have flaws, and not every social interaction is meant to be amazing. It can be awkward at times, or even silly. Once we're content with knowing friendships can be messy, awkward, and silly at times, we can then feel a little more relaxed when it comes to making a new friend. If you think your perfectionism is getting in the way of finding a friend, know that someone is out there for you, but they won't be perfect. And flaws and all, you'll still love each other and may even be a little less lonely. There's someone out there for you. You just have to keep looking. So, will you try out any of these tips?
Didn't she just drop some gems? Come back soon for some more of her intellectually stimulating conversations with a dose of humor laced with that dope LA swag. Keep doing your thing, beautiful. She's out. Peace.
Leticia's Virtual Couch.